Have a little message from the Lord tonight. We'd like to bring about taking God's way and leaving our ways behind and taking God's way. That's my subject. I trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts. It means much for us to take God's way and not our way. Many, see Mike, want to go their own way, their own ideas, their own thoughts. See Mike, I see a great weakness in human beings wanting to have their own way, wanting to go their own way, and not willing to listen and be taught God's way. But I want to encourage us all to be very diligent. Be very careful. I can testify in my life that I've really sincerely, not boastfully saying this, but I've really sincerely sought God's way in my life. And I want to say that it is a rewarding, wonderful blessing to take His way. And I want to say that I've missed the road a few times and got off on in my mind and thoughts, but I thank the Lord for His goodness and mercy that has drawn me back to the narrow way different times when I got sidetracked or got off on a wrong, what would you say, channel of thought or way or mode or manner. But sincerely seeking the Lord has been so good to correct us and deal with us, and I believe that He will, everyone, if you will give Him a chance, if you'll be willing to take His way and you'll be willing to be taught His way, and if you'll seek Him earnestly, there'll be times when you'll find yourself out of His way, and it'll take a lot of humility and a lot of faith and determination to recognize where you've got off the road. It takes a lot of that. You have to backtrack and ask forgiveness and straighten up and repent many times along the way to keep on the right way. So I pray the Lord to help us tonight, that we'll have this purpose in our hearts and be stirred, be challenged, be convicted in our own hearts about this thought that I want to dwell on for just a little while. Hope I won't hold you too long. I don't think I have a too bad of a reputation of a long-winded preacher. I don't like to be called one, but if the Lord wants me to preach long, I want to preach long. If He won't want to, He's through, I want to be through. But I want to talk to us a little bit about our ways and God's way. First scripture is the old familiar, wonderful Isaiah 55, a wonderful chapter. And the sixth verse, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we see here the entreaty of the prophet, and the Spirit of God is, let the wicked forsake his way. You know, we grow up in life and we develop ways. We develop mannerisms. We develop attitudes. We develop modes of life and ways of doing things and feelings dispositions and things in our hearts and lives. We develop these things. There's different influences in the world. Sometimes in the home, sometimes outside the home. At school, in the neighborhood, reading books and looking at things and watching people, we develop ways and ideas and thoughts, and there's influences, all kinds of influences in the world that we have. And then there are things that originate from deep within the heart of man, down in your makeup and the principles of your life and being. There are things that develop and work, and to where you have, you develop a way, you develop ways. And it means much for us as we realize the fear of God. There is a great God. He has a way. He has ways of doing things. He has thoughts. And those thoughts and those ways are different from our ways. They're higher than our ways. And when we come to give our hearts to the Lord and we get in a contact with the fear of God, then we are made to realize that His ways are higher than our ways. And therefore we should be diligent and earnest and full of desire to learn His way and to forsake our way of pride, our way of selfishness, our way of greed, our way of irritability, our way of arguing, our way of isolationist, our way of being just away from everybody and not wanting to cooperate, our way of stubbornness. There's lots of things that develop. We come to the Lord, it's giving up those ways, being willing to submit ourselves and say, Lord, I want to go Your way. The way of doubts and fears, the way of unbelief, the way of arguing and strife and all these things. We have to give up those ways and thank the Lord He's so good to us. And it's those ways that we have that separates us from God. Did you know that? It's your ways. He said in one place, He said, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every man according to his ways. It's your ways. The way that you go, the way you live, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you react to things. Your attitude, your mannerisms, how you do, the places you go, the things you let your heart get set on. Those are ways. And they have to be dealt with. They have to be forsaken. And we must conform our ways to God's way. Lord, help us today. We all of us are faced with this responsibility. Don't think that I don't have any problem here. Everyone has a problem here. This is a problem area of everybody's life. I would dare say no person sitting in this room here tonight but what will have some problem in your life of you getting rid of your way and you going God's way. I'm going to challenge you. This is put before you. I know because I've had it myself. And we want to be encouraged to look to the Lord. Lord, is there any way in me? Is there any way I'm doing that's not according to your way? And we need to be very humble. That's why the proud and the stiff-hearted and the stubborn and rebellious don't make it with God. They never progress in the things of God. It takes humility, being teachable, being humble, taking correction, taking advice. It takes that kind of a spirit. A person that won't listen to anyone, they never get anywhere with God because that kind of a spirit cannot flow with God. May the Lord help us here. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Come back to his way. Come back to God's way of humility, God's way of modesty, God's way of purity, God's way of contentment, God's way of being willing to take life as he gives it and have faith and courage, but God's way of truth and uprightness, honesty and justice. That's what we need to come to. Leave off the striving. Leave off the arguing. Leave off the self-justification. Leave off the stubbornness and just be willing to let God have his way in our lives. It means so much, dear ones. This is a very serious thought tonight. The world is full of its own way. We notice a few more scriptures. Isaiah 53, speaking about Jesus here. And how he was going to come and be wounded for our transgressions. Wonderful chapter. But there's one verse here that really is serious to me. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. Who's he talking about? The whole human race. That's who he's talking about. Has gone astray like a lost sheep. They've gone astray. And what have they done? They've turned everyone to his own way. Everyone to his own selfish way. Everyone to his own lustful way. Everyone to his own proud and covetous way. Everyone to his own stubborn way. His own self-righteous way. Everyone to his own way. And they have. And he said, he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus knew that the whole human race had departed from his way of truth, his way of righteousness, his way of holiness, his way of purity, his way of meekness and gentleness and love and faith. The whole world, the whole world today is just in a departed condition from God's way. All we like sheep have gone astray. Think about this scripture tonight. Don't think, oh, I haven't done anything wrong. You've all gone. We've all gone astray. We've all done things that are wrong. We've all developed things. No matter how good a parent you have, no matter how godly a home you're raised in, you still will develop little ways and little antics and little things about yourself that God has to deal with. That God has to deal with and you have to depart from. It doesn't matter. I know when my children were growing up, I was very covetous of their soul's welfare, and I was just seemed like under strain sometimes. I didn't want wrong influences coming from without. And I was just very much, I don't know what words to use, I was just very solicitous of their welfare. And one day I was praying about it. I was praying, Lord, don't let this come the way. Don't let that come. Keep them away from this. Keep them away from that. And the Lord spoke to me right in the middle. And he said, the worst problem you're going to have with your children and any children is not so much that from without. It's that thing that comes down. It comes from within. Right down in their own heart and mind. That's what. And it's going to always be there. It's going to be there to trip them up until they get victory and submit to the ways of the Lord. So may the Lord help us tonight, dear ones. We're all of us. I want to challenge you. You've got ways about you that may not be right. Oh, you may not think they are, but they may be, and there probably is, and there is many times ways in our hearts and minds we don't think they are. Another scripture, I want to go to the book of Proverbs 21 and 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. Listen. And 16 and 2 says about the same thing. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. So you see, you think your ways are right. You think that what you're doing is all right. Nothing wrong with me. I'm not doing anything wrong. That's what's wrong with our society. They have no knowledge of what is right and good and acceptable in God's sight. And they just think they're all right. And a man, all the ways of a man are right and clean in his own eyes. He just think, well, I'm just doing all right. Nothing wrong with me. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm a good man. But oh, dear ones, it says the Lord is pondering the hearts and weighing the spirits. He's weighing you up right now. You know, it's not our scales of justice that we're going to be judged by in the last day. It's God's scales. It's God's justice. It's God's word. And therefore, we need to be very diligent. We need to be very earnest. In 16, I want to read you a scripture now. Whenever you find a scripture that is mentioned twice in the Bible, I would think we need to kind of set up and take notice. Don't you think so? Yes, I would think if you see a scripture that somehow got in there twice in the book of Proverbs, there's several of them. There's several scriptures that's in there twice. And they're very important scriptures, and here's one of them. One is 16 and 25. There is a way, now listen to this, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now listen to that. That is something. Okay, chapter 14, and has the very same scripture. Let's see if I can find it here. Maybe somebody can help me here. There is a way. It has it again. It might be, it might, what? Is it 12? I was thinking, all right, which one is it now? What? 14 and 12, okay. Oh, it's wonderful to have help along the way, isn't it? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, here it is twice. Now may the Lord help us. Let's get down to the nitty gritty here. There is a way, and I'm studying out this in the Hebrew, and this word seemeth in here is really an added word. It's not in italics in my Bible, but in the Hebrew text it doesn't have that seemeth, right? That seemeth. It just has it, there is a way that is right or upright to a man. But it indicates that seem is a justifiable word to use there. But it seemed like just in the raw Hebrew text, it's even more serious. See, there is a way. Well, now this is a way ought to go. But it said there is a way that seems right, appears right, it looks right, it ought to be right, everything about it seems to be right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now I want to tell you, that's terrible. That scares me. That puts a fear on me. I think this is the right way I ought to go. And that way could very well be the way to death. You think about that a little bit. May the Lord help us today. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. What is the way that seems right? It's your way. Your way always seems right. You never are able of yourself to just see your way as it really is. You think your way is right. There are people today that are killing each other. They're living awful, ungodly lives, and they think they're all right. That's so. There are people doing the most awful things that you can imagine, living terrible lives, and yet in their own minds, they're all right. Now that's a serious, sad thing. The Lord. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. We're vulnerable. We're, I don't know what word to use. We're so easily gullible, I guess you could use that word. Easily deceived. We think we're right and we're wrong. I have been so persuaded about things in my life that I was right, and I was found out that I was wrong. I had to back down and humble down. I remember we got in a little argument in my home one time, years ago. I was just a boy. And my mother and all, they taught me never to bet, never to bet, or, you know, things like that. Never to gamble or bet. But we got in a discussion about the Babe Ruth candy bar. And I believe that Babe, it was B-A-B-E-R-U-T-H on the candy bar. And I was arguing with him. I says, if I was going to bet, I'd bet you. I don't know how many. Of course, I wasn't going to bet, but I mean, if I was going to, I'd bet you so much money. But that's B-A-B-E. And they said, that's not right. It's B-A-B-Y. I was sure that I was right. Well, they said, we're going to call up the candy company here, Downing Candy Company here in Guthrie. They called them up. What is it on that candy bar? I just thought, sure, I was going to be right. I was just so confident. They said it's B-A-B-Y. I was wrong. But I thought I was right. See, this is the thing. This is a serious part. You think you're right, but you may be wrong. And this scripture here that I've just read, these two scriptures in 16 and also 14, it says there is a way that appears right. It looks right. It ought to be right. And it's not. It's the way of death. I remember one time, we was traveling between here and Oregon, some of us, and we come into town and we got off the road. We come out of, going out of the town on the wrong road. And all of us were sidetracked in our mind. We all got mixed up. We thought, surely we're on the right road. And we begin to see signs to the contrary. Even had some of them had the idea maybe they've got the wrong signs up on this road. No, we were on the wrong road. But it seemed right to us. And we kept on, we kept seeing, we never saw the right number of the sign. Finally, we had to just believe the signs and believe what, and we had to turn around and go back and get on the right road. You see, you as a human being, this is what's serious. Don't ever be too confident about yourself. I know that's different than the way the world looks. The world says, be confident about yourself. You're going all right. You're going to be all right. No, no. No, you don't be confident about yourself. You're too gullible. You're too human. You're too prone to error. You need to live close to God. You need to seek the Lord earnestly. Lord, is this right? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Also in the 16th chapter, in the 9th verse, here's another scripture I want to note. I want you to listen to this. A man's heart deviseth his way. Well, this is true with every one of us. We face things, decisions to be made. I mean, I've been doing it this very week. What shall I do? What way shall I take? Thinking, pondering. If you didn't know how to pray, if you didn't know how to seek God, you'd be in an awful shape. Because you just no way you can find out. Another scripture, I think it's in Jeremiah or somewhere, where it says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his way. So we need to really pray. You need to pray and seek the Lord. Lord, help me to know what to do. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. See, the Lord directeth, and this word direct means, he means he stabilizes it. If you want a way, if you want to go the way that's stable, you pray and get God's direction in your life. When you get saved and when you start out, the way is before you. Life is before you. And the way is out there. Lord, what way am I going to go? You need to pray. Children, children, children. Boys and girls, young people, I plead with you. I'm seeing it happen all the time, all of my life. I've seen people take the wrong way. People right in among us. I mean, I'm not going out. I'm right among our own people. They're taking the wrong way. You try to say, no, that's not the way. And you preach it and you teach it and you hold it up and they still take the wrong way. What are we going to do? I can't do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. You've got to ponder the path of your feet. That's Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read that. That is good scripture. May God help us today. In Proverbs 3 and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Same word here. He will stabilize your paths. You seek God. You pray when it comes time to get a companion in life, a husband or a wife. You better pray about that thing. You better seek the Lord with all your heart about that thing. That's the most important thing next to salvation. Seek the Lord. In all your ways acknowledge him. 4 and 26 says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Can we know God's way? Can we pray until we know of a surety what God wants us to do? Yes, you can. In fact, not only you can, but you must. You must wait on the Lord. You must look to the Lord. Lord, help me to know the way that I should go. It seemed like there is a tendency in human beings to want to take their own way. Now I have to watch that myself. I'm a human being myself right now. And there are times when the decisions are to be made, what to do, what course to take, and I find myself at a crossroads. What am I going to do? That's where prayer and waiting on God is so vital for everyone. Because if you don't get God's directions, if you don't let the Lord have His way in your life, you'll take the wrong turn and it can mean eternal disaster and loss. See how important it is for you to get saved, get right with God while you're young, and then let the Lord lead you. Oh, there's such a beautiful picture. I imagine you've seen it. It's a beautiful picture. I wish I had one here. It's a picture of a young boy in the light, and Jesus is standing by him. And he's leading him in that way of life. And back in the shadows at a crossroads, you've probably seen that picture, there's a young man standing like this. Oh, it's a serious thought. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Matthew 7:13-14. Oh, may the Lord help us. Jesus told it just the way it is. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." What way is it? That's your way. It's a broad way. The way of sin, the way of the world, the way of pride, the way of vanity. It's all out there. It's there. I mean, you can go. I mean, right now, if I wanted to, I could quit preaching. I could go out and go after the things of the world if I wanted to. They're all out there. But that way is no good. It goes down. It goes to destruction. But it says, "For straight," because straight is the gate. Straight means difficult. It's a difficult thing to go God's way. And it's supposed to be. Because you're hemmed in by all the many contrary elements in the world. You must take God's way. And it's a straight way. You have to go against the tide. You have to go against the pressures. You have to go against peer pressure. You have to go against the ways and the popularity and the trends of the world and what other boys and girls are doing. It's a hard thing to really go God's way. And yet it's not. Yet it's really the best way after all. It's hard in a way, but yet it's really the best way. The way of the Lord is really the best way. Oh, it has such rewards. Straight is a gate and narrow is a way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find. You know, there's a few, just a few find the straight and narrow way. It's just a few want to do it. Few want to humble themselves. Just a few want to take the way of plainness and modesty. Most people want to just be proud and decked up and put on their earrings and their jewelry and their powder and puff and paint, and they just want to go out and just want to spread out and just enjoy the plays of the ball games and the picture shows and the TV and all of these things that people are going after and near ones today. It's a downward way. It's a broad way that leads to destruction. And many there be which are going in thereat today. Oh, may the Lord help us today. My heart is so burdened. Listen, dear ones, the way is here. It's a narrow way that leads to glory. It's to be holy and pure and righteous and godly and humble and meek and what God wants you to be. It's a narrow way. It's a hard way. You've got to battle the devil. You've got to battle the world. You've got to battle unbelief. You've got to battle discouragement. The foes of hell are set against you if you're going to live for God. It's a narrow way. And it's a good way. It's a good way. Praise the Lord. It's a good way. Oh, may the Lord help us today. The way of faith. Oh, people don't like it. Trusting in God. That's a way
that people reject. No, I can't do that. Listen, that's the best way. It's a good way. It's a way that leads to heaven. The way of faith and the way of humility. Oh, dear ones, the way of modesty, plainness, simplicity. It's the way that God wants us to go. It's a narrow way, sure, to be godly and saintly and humble and dress as a saint of God should, not wear the shorts and the short sleeves and the ungodly attire and the things that actuate the body and to spread the old physical charm and the lust and the pleasures of the flesh. The whole world is going that way, and you stand out there and dress modest with a dress on that's a good length to cover up the calves of your legs so you won't show the form of your body and all of these things and live like God wants you to live. That's the best way, dear one. It's a way, it's a despised way. It's a holy way, it's a precious way to be godly and meek and kind and loving and forgiving, honest and upright. Oh, it's a good way, dear one. I can't make it any more beautiful. I can't make it as beautiful as it really is with this feeble tongue of mine. But I want to tell you, God's way is the best way. You take God's way. You take the way of holiness. I want to get that scripture. There's a wonderful scripture in Isaiah 35. It says over here, talking about the New Testament plan of salvation. What a wonderful thing. Oh, it's a beautiful chapter. It just tells about how the eyes of the blind will be opened and the desert's going to rejoice and blossom as a rose and the tongue of the dumb is going to sing in the wilderness streams in the desert and the parched ground will become a pool and all. And in verse 8 it says, a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Praise the Lord! It is a good way. It is a holy way. It is a way of holiness. In the middle of all of this blessing, there's a highway. Oh, praise the Lord. A highway, the thought of a highway, it means a way that is cast up, built up above the surrounding area. It is a safe way, a highway, and a way called the way of holiness. That's the way. It says the unclean shall not pass over it. It'll be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err. You do not have to have a big education to go God's way. That's where the world is missing it today. They think you've got to have to be pumped full of college education and this and that. You don't need it to live a Christian life. Well, you say, well, I've got to have to make a living. Well, you better let God's way, you better let seek the Lord's will about that and let God have His way in your life. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be an educated fool to be living a Christian life on this highway of holiness. You don't have to have it. You don't have to have all this worldly knowledge of all of this here technology and everything that's going on. You don't need it to live a Christian life. In fact, I tell you, the world would be better off if they weren't so smart and high-headed as they are today, if they'd be willing to be humble and meek and lowly and just live a Christian life and be kind and gracious and helpful to their neighbor. May the Lord help us here. No lion shall be there, and no ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The highway of holiness. Praise the Lord. We've got some songs about that in our book, don't we? Walking in the highway of the King and the pathway of the just. The path of the just, He says, is as a shining light, and shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Another precious scripture that I like is over here in the, I believe it's Jeremiah, let's see here, where it says, stand ye in the ways. Maybe somebody can help me out here. Stand ye in the ways and ask for the good ways, the old ways. Seek for the good ways. Yeah, it's six. I thought it was six, but it's down here in the corner. Thus saith the Lord, 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. How are we doing that? Are you pondering the path that you should go tonight? Do you think about it? Or you just go ahead and do something and you just go ahead and make your decision? You don't think about the outcome or what is going to happen. You don't even think about that. If you do, you're a fool. That's exactly what the Word of God told us. You're a fool. May the Lord help us. I'm a fool too if I do it. Dear ones, we need to stand in the way and seek for the old path where it is the good way. And it says, you shall have and walk therein, and ye shall have rest for your soul. Praise the Lord. Oh, the way, the old paths, the good old way, the gospel way, the way of holiness, the way of purity, the way of meekness and humility. Oh, not away with the way of pride and vanity and lust and greed and selfishness and all these things. Dear ones, may the Lord help us here that we'll stand in the ways, seek and ask for the old paths, all the way of unity of the brethren, a way of bearing one with another, the way of love, the way of patience, the way of purity and righteousness. Dear ones, that's the way you want to go. That's the good way, dear ones. It's the way, you young people, we want to seek for this way. Don't go out after the ways of the world. Don't go out after the pride, the styles, the fads. Oh, I know sometimes they just look good to people, but I'll tell you, there's under the roses of pride, there's thorns under those roses of pride. There's terrible things. Oh, that looks good to get those earrings on and like to have a low neck dress and wear the shorts and boys too. I'll tell you, it's just pitiful. Do you know that's not pleasing in God's sight? Might as well face up to it. It's not pleasing in God's sight. God wants you to dress modestly. He wants you to dress your body, clothe your body. Don't go out after those things. I know when I was a little boy one time, I used to think, when I was a little boy, I'd look and I'd see men with neckties on. And I'd think, you know, they look real nice. And I'd draw pictures of neckties. And I found out my dad had a whole bunch of neckties in the closet that he used to wear. And one day when everybody was gone, I had me a ball. I tell you, I got those neckties out and I tried them all on. I looked before the mirror and oh, I had a big time. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord He saved me from that. I'm glad I finally saw I don't have to wear a necktie. It doesn't bother me to go out without a necktie on. I know in my senior year, I was in a senior choir, and we were going to go up to Enid and sing one day, and the director told us that on all you boys have a white shirt and a necktie on. Oh my, I didn't even have one then. I don't know what happened to those others. But anyway, I thought, what am I going to do? And I wasn't really saved at the time, but I didn't want to wear that necktie. I was afraid to. I just didn't want to do it. But yet he set the law down and said, you've got to have a white shirt and a necktie. So I was talking to one of my buddies and I said, you know, I don't even have a necktie. He says, I'll bring you one. And so I said, well, if I have to wear one, I'll go ahead and wear it today. You know, it'll be all right. And you know, the next day we got up there and got ready to go. And I asked him where my necktie was. Oh, he says, I forgot all about it. And you know, I was the only one. I stood up there, didn't have a necktie on. I really was thankful inside that I didn't have to wear that thing. Oh, dear ones today. But what I say, it had a drawing. It had an appeal. It had an attraction to me. Wouldn't you like to have that necktie on? Oh, dear ones today, it's just vanity. It's just vanity. It's just no good. You go after those things, and then after you get a necktie, you got to have a tie class then, you see. And then you got to have this and that, and the girls, you know, they're tempted with lipstick and rouge and all that. And I know, may the Lord help us today. That's the wrong way. That's the way downward. The way of pride, unnatural things. It's a way of pride. It doesn't make a woman look any prettier to have a bunch of earrings. And I'll tell you, it's getting worse all the time. It just seemed like the bigger the earrings, the better for them. And they just seemed like great big. I saw a woman not long ago. She had the biggest earrings on. I thought, my, I wonder how in the world she can stand that. Oh, it's just awful. Dear one, that's the way of the world. Don't go that way. The way of the Lord is modest, plain. God wants His sisters, His women, to dress in modest apparel. The Bible teaches it. We got to go the Bible way if you're going to make heaven your home. Yes, some people say, well, that don't matter. Those things aren't important. Those things are not important. They are important. They are important. Those things are very important.
If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you won't want to put those things on. You won't want to dress up like in the world. Oh, dear ones, today we want to go the way, the old paths. Stand ye in the ways and see and look for the old paths, wherein is the good way. Praise the Lord. Oh, sometimes we see the awful things going on in our world today. The way people dress and the way they act. And it just seems like I think, oh, thank God for the holiness of the saints. Thank God for the purity of the saints. Thank God for the modesty of our sisters. How plain and how godly they are. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And seems like the old devil, he tempts our young girls and want to cut your hair. They want to cut your hair. I knew one young girl, she was raised in a Christian home and raised to let her hair be long and all. And finally she got in her mind one day that she was going to go and have her hair cut and get a permanent. And oh, she did. She went with her sister-in-law and she went down to the beauty parlor and they cut her hair and they frizzled it all up and fixed it all, curled it all up. And she came home and she stood before the mirror and she let her hair down and she cried. It was so beautiful. She was so glad to get that hair. And all the boys, when she came to church, the boys that wouldn't even look at her, they was really eyeing her then. Oh, dear ones, may the Lord help us today. That's downward way. That's a downward way. That same girl had to come to an altar a few years after that and bowing down at the altar, seeking the Lord, seeking for salvation, and not seem like getting anywhere until one dear old faithful brother came up to her and said, Sylvia, what are you going to do with your hair? Now you know who it was. He said, Brother G. Arm said, Sylvia, what are you going to do about your hair? You know, may the Lord help us today. You can snub me if you want to. You can say, Brother Leslie, you're so foggy if you want to. But I want to tell you, in the flames of hell, if you allow yourself to go the way of the world, you'll wish that you'd have done what the saints taught.
Yes.
You'll wish it. Yes. Say, well, I don't believe in hell anyway. Well, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe anything. Go out after this vain old wicked world if you want to. But I'm going to tell you the way is down. The way is down. Let's seek for the old paths. Let's seek for the good way. I know I'm talking plain tonight. The Lord showed me a few years ago. He said, I want you to talk plain. I want you to talk plain to people. Come right on out and tell them. You know, we say, oh, we don't tell you. Might offend them. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. But I'm talking about the straight and narrow way. And these things are included. May the Lord help us. There is a way. And I want one more scripture and then I'm going to leave it with you. Psalms 139. And I hope and pray that this will be in your heart. Young people, I'd like to just emblazon this upon your heart and mind. For you to have this kind of spirit and attitude about you. This would be your prayer. Your sincere prayer. 139th Psalm in the 23rd verse. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Oh, let the searchlight of heaven shine down. Is there anything in my heart and life that's not right? You know, this is a time we need to get a hold of it. This is a time we need to find out. Wouldn't it be awful? Do you think it's possible for you to come up to the great judgment day and have been walking ways as contrary to His precious word and holiness? Now that's going to be too late to do anything about it. Why do you say the Lord won't hold it against me then? If He had it in His word and His saints and His ministers have taught it and the Spirit of God could have got it to you if you had listened and you come up and you try to claim ignorance, you will not make it. Now, I'm going to tell you that's the truth. I believe that with all my heart. You will not be able to plead ignorance at the judgment. You see, you mean the Lord will close me out just for the little things like that? It isn't the little things, dear ones, that are little in that way. It's God's Word we're going to have to deal with. God's truth. Listen. Can you pray this prayer and see if there be any wicked way in me? Who's writing this? The man's writing this that loves God. You can tell. You can tell in the whole Psalm, 139th Psalm, the man loves God. God's good to him. God's dealing with him. But he closes out the Psalm with this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. You reckon there could be any wicked way in me? In me? Well, that's what we should be open. Lord, is there any wicked way? Is there any way that I'm going? Is there any mode of my life, mannerism or attitudes or disposition or spirit or principle about my life? Lord, is there anything that you're not pleased with? You know, if there is anything, dear ones, we ought not to want that around. We ought not to want to have that. If there is, we ought not to want it. We ought to say, Lord, see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That scripture is a precious scripture to me. See if there's
upheaval in me. You really pray this prayer, God's going to start really working with you.
But you know what He's wanting to do? He's wanting to help you to find His way. His way. His way is the best way. Lead me in that way that's everlasting. Maybe I'm not as humble as I should be. I know one day I was praying and the Lord just spoke to me so plain. He said, you're not as humble as you should be. Lord, help. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to be more humble. I just seemed like I couldn't quite see it right at the time, but I knew the Lord had spoke that, and it really stirred me up. You can just see, Mike, after that, I noticed after that, I began to see. You want the Lord to search you? You got any ways that displeasing in His sight? No, I'm all right. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm a good man. I live a good life. You just get that patting on yourself on the back, and it won't work. It won't work. You're one we've got to open our hearts and say, Lord, is there any way in me that's wicked? And lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Pray for me. Thank you.